from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Mully and Haw talk Cubs baseball and Chicago sports every weekday morning from 5:30 to 10 on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app as Paredes fouls one away, out of play, off to the right, 1-1. I missed this earlier, but I got a text from Mully and Haw's producer, Dustin Rhodes, asking me if I can join them tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock as Paredes. It's a high fly ball to shallow left, coming in Reynolds. He's under it and makes the catch, 2 away. I've yet to respond to that text. I could do it now over the air and say, yeah, I'll join them. 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. What
That's
an honor.
Up to you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of The Score. Puffy-chested Dustin.
What a release.
Hearing his name and booking a guest live on the air.
Wow.
It's beautiful stuff.
That's power.
Let's welcome in the man himself. He joins us, Zach Zabeman, the ginger hair genius. He joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Zach, we are so proud of you. We tell everyone we know you. Thank you for confirming.
Well, this is what happens when you host the most popular morning show in Chicago. So I'm here.
We're glad you're here, Zach. You need to clear up some stuff for us. We've got a lot to talk about. So 18 runs last night, 8 stolen bases. Where did that come from?
A combination of different things. You had guys that were hitting the ball that didn't hit the ball on Sunday. But I really think that this stems from the fact that when you see a team is not holding on runners well, right, and the catcher has difficulty throwing out runners, and you get guys on base, take advantage of that. And that's something that Craig Counsell has tried to do all season long, because the Cubs have been up and down from an offensive standpoint. But they've been hot lately during this stretch where they've taken on teams that are either in last place or next to last. And this is what you have to do. You have to win series. The problem is Cubs are 15-8 over the last 23 games, right? And they're looking to win their fourth consecutive series tonight. They can do that if they beat the Pirates this evening here in Pittsburgh. The problem is, it's not just good enough to win series. You have to time out those wins with losses by the teams that you're trying to catch in the wild card race. So Sunday, you had a great opportunity, right, to sweep the Marlins, move above the 500 mark, and gain ground on Atlanta, the team that currently holds that final wild card spot in the National League, because the Braves lost to the Nationals, but the Cubs happened to lose to the Marlins, because it's hard to sweep series. But because of all the issues that you've had, especially in the first half of the season, you have a very little room for margin now. So that's the issue that the Cubs are facing. But last night, sometimes the other team doesn't have a good night and you take advantage. And that's exactly what the Cubs did. It was a lot of fun. They stole 8 bases for the first time in a game, I think, since 1911. Pat Choate, that was like his third year in the league. And that's not true. They didn't even have radio back then, but it was kind of fun to watch. And the other big thing, for most of this season, the Cubs have had significant difficulty taking advantage with runners in scoring position. They're still near the bottom of the league in average with runners in scoring position. But in that sixth inning, when they had an opportunity to pounce, they did, scoring 8 times. And of course the big hit, Dansby Swanson's grand slam. And I think you guys played this earlier, right? The marquee call of the Grand Slam, where you hear JD talking about the tomato sandwiches. And if you didn't watch the game, you probably have no idea why he would mention that in the middle of a Grand Slam. And the thing is, Dansby Swanson's mom, when he was in middle school and high school, she didn't want him eating the cafeteria food. So I guess it's a Southern staple, right? Like tomato sandwiches. So she's preparing tomato sandwiches, and clearly it works. Look, he's svelte, he's in good shape, he's got the great hair, the masculine beard. We should all be eating more tomato sandwiches.
Well, Dansby with the grand slam and a walk and a couple of runs scored, and you know,
I just went into the Zach cackle.
I love that is that a green tomato sandwich or something?
I don't know.
Is that fried tomato sandwich, right?
It was not fried tomato sandwiches. It was okay. Because you can't look like him if you're eating fried tomato sandwiches. It's got to be raw, healthy tomato.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we'll pass on that. But I guess when you look at everything that went on yesterday, let's take a listen. The Cubs released Drew Smyly, the lefty. I guess there's multiple reasons the lefty reliever's released, but maybe the most important one, it helps them avoid the $2.5 million buyout of his contract next year. It was interesting because Craig Counsell was asked about it after the game, and let's take a listen.
There's a report that you guys waived Smiley.
Yeah, no comment on that.
He didn't seem too happy, or he didn't want to comment on it.
Well, nothing's official yet, right? But okay. The reality is, if you start to take a look at the way the Cubs have operated here, if you're Jed Hoyer and Carter Hawkins, you have to also look at next year. Right now, the guys in the clubhouse are trying to win right now, and they're trying to put themselves in a position where they can make a little bit of a wild card push here. And if they keep winning, maybe they get lucky. Some of the teams on top of them start to lose, and you put yourself in a position where somehow you find yourself in the playoffs. But I think you also have to look at the finances going forward and give yourself the best opportunity to take advantage heading into the offseason. So that's where the two things are kind of at play here. And the other thing is, you have Jordan Wicks, the rookie left-hander, who's making another rehab start Friday for Iowa as he tries to work his way back from that oblique injury. You figure if that goes well, he's been pitching very well down in the minor leagues. That'll give you an opportunity to have a left-hander come up. So I think those are the different things at play that upper management is probably taking a look at. But right after a game in which you score 18 runs and win, and the only thing Craig Counsell was thinking about right now is just stacking wins together to have the team with an opportunity to possibly make the wild card and make a September meaningful for the Cubs. He's not thinking about the front office moves. So that's why I think he gave the answer that he gave.
I'll push back a little, Zach. You're a manager in charge of a team that, and depending on the day, you're in and out of relevance. You're in and out of contention. You need all hands on deck. You need everybody committed to the idea. Let us be the ones who consider it folly. You're in the clubhouse. You need to be committed to the idea that you can catch the Braves. To catch the Braves, you need all the Drew Smyleys you can get. Left-handed relievers, they don't really have a surplus of. Jordan Wicks is great, but he's often injured. This is a money move. $2.5 million for the buyout, $1.2 million for the rest of the season. If I'm the manager, I'm ticked off that my boss is taking away one of my options in the bullpen.
It's a business, right? At the end of the day, as much as we look at it from a fan standpoint, it's a business. And that never gets lost on anyone who operates daily in Major League Baseball. And sometimes it's not fun, but that's the reality of the situation.
And you know, it's a good reminder, Zach, when you mentioned that you got to look at 2025. It's a good reminder that, you know, Miguel Amaya in particular seemed like a guy you weren't looking for in 2025, and you might have been looking for another catcher, and all of a sudden he's kind of catching fire a little bit, and he's doing some things, and maybe he's renewed his status as the catcher of the future, the catcher of right now.
Can I go on a little tangent here? Because I think you make a great point. You know, we've heard so much about the disposition of Craig Counsell during games because the camera catches him at certain points and he looks stoic, very similar to Lovie Smith and David Mully. You guys know that during the Lovie Smith era, this was a big topic of conversation. Why doesn't the guy show emotion? Why is he always stoic? He looks the same whether they're winning or losing, as if that all of a sudden is going to be able to change what people do on the field in any sport. And then you have guys like Ozzie Guillen and Lou Piniella, and you want to see the emotion. And when they show you the emotion, then people tee off on them for being out of control. to me, you should credit the Cubs coaching staff with finding a way to fix Miguel Amaya after a horrendous start to the season. He had that huge leg kick, right? And with pitchers throwing in the upper 90s in Major League Baseball, once you have that big leg kick, it's really hard to time up the fastball. You're automatically late. So what they saw is a guy in Miguel Amaya who has a pretty good eye when it comes to the strike zone. How do you get him to be able to speed up the bat speed without losing the power? So they came to him and they said, get rid of the leg kick, try a toe tap. We're going to give you a few days off to work on the thing. And he was apprehensive, as any player would be, to make such a drastic change in the middle of the season. So one of the Cubs' assistant hitting coaches, Juan Cabrera, good friends with Nelson Cruz, longtime major leaguer, got Nelson Cruz to put a little video together on the phone to talk to Miguel Amaya about switching things up. So Amaya made two changes. One was the toe tap, and he realized during the days that he had off working on the swing that he did not lose his power even though he got rid of the big leg kick. The other big change, this hasn't been talked about a lot, he started using the same bat model as Nelson Cruz, and those things have worked for the last month plus. Miguel Amaya has been on fire. Specifically, the last seven games, he's hitting .500. I think he's driven in 11 runs in those seven games, and this is the kind of player that the Cubs thought they had in the minor leagues. He did not have a lot of minor league at-bats before he became a big leaguer, but it's nice to see some of that come to fruition, and credit the Cubs coaching staff for making little moves like that to help make players better. They've done a terrific job of helping Pete Crow Armstrong acclimate himself and learn the big league game at the big league level, which is so hard to do.
I love your tangents, Zach. That was a really good one. So now do PCA. What's the biggest difference? I know the coaching staff has helped bring out his potential and get all the production, but what specifically have you seen in the last month or so that makes him so effective? Because he's batting eighth now. I don't think he's going to be batting eighth forever, and he is, as we saw last night, we're reminded, he is a threat on the bases.
He's a threat on the bases. He's a threat playing baseball in every aspect, but he's also learning the game at the major league level. I think one of the biggest changes he's made, you see him choking up on the bat a little bit more. He's not trying to pull everything. Sometimes it's okay to go the other way or hit the ball low and give yourself an opportunity. If you put the ball in play and you're PCA, because of that speed, you're putting so much pressure on the defensive players. And I think he's beginning to understand that, and not just understand it, but be able to do something about it. I talked to him in Cleveland a couple of weeks ago, and I asked him, do you feel like you're at a point now where you're beginning to have a significant impact on the way things happen during a game? And he shook his head and he said no. And one of the things he pointed to was, remember that game that the Cubs won on the Mike Tauchman walk-off against St. Louis? And Nico Hoerner had a big stolen base in that game to put himself in scoring position to create the opportunity for Tauchman. And that's what PCA pointed to have a significant impact on whether or not your team wins or loses. You have to be able to make significant plays at big moments, whether it's with a steal, whether it's with the bat, whether it's with the glove, whether it's with the arm. And there's so many things that he's been working on this year. Like initially, they just told him to acclimate himself defensively and make sure that you're doing the right things out in center field, understanding how much room you have between the warning track and the wall, which base to throw to properly to make sure that you didn't give the opponent an extra opportunity to score. It's little things like that that you would never think of. And while he's worried about that, you also got a hit. So that's why it took a little bit of time, but at least now you're beginning to see some of the things that the coaching staff has spent a lot of time working with PCA on, and he's a really good player. So I think you're beginning to see him make the strides. We always knew the speed was there. He's an elite base runner, but it's knowing when to take advantage when you're on the bases. We always knew he was an elite defensive player, but it's how to have the biggest maximum impact with your defense, and he's beginning to do that as well.
Zach, we have talked quite a bit about why the Cubs can't put together kind of sweeps. You know, at this point in the year, they've only had, I think, the longest winning streak. They've won five in a row twice. And that makes them now need to put kind of 10 in a row and take advantage of everything. Difficult to do when you got young pitching, you know, Skeens, Jones today, Skeens tomorrow. Did they save any stolen bases or runs that they can apply to those games? How does
every
that
game's
work?
On it. Well, let me push back on something you said.
Okay.
It's difficult to do what you said.
I know.
At any point during a season. So
right.
I think that's, and the Cubs put themselves in a big hole with that tough first half that they had. In large part, I think, because every major name on this team dealt with some sort of injury during the first half. And it took them a while to get healthy and then start to produce. And they played, I think, one good team during this stretch. That was Cleveland, and they got swept by the Guardians during that series. It's hard. It's really hard to consistently stack wins together. It's hard to consistently play good ball. But here is where you are. You have Justin Steele on the mound. And to me, you know, Shota Imanaga has gotten all of the publicity because he's had such a fantastic season. But if you look at what Steele has done on the mound, I know the one loss record with Steele doesn't reflect how well he's pitched, but you guys watch the games. You know that every time Justin Steele is on the mound, you have an opportunity to win a ball game. And you can make the case that the Cubs have a better pitcher on the mound today, even though Jared Jones is going for Pittsburgh and kind of reminds me with Paul Skeens. It's like that 1-2 punch that the Cubs used to have with Kerry Wood and Mark Pryor back in the day. That's kind of what they're trying to build here in Pittsburgh. But this is an opportunity for you now. The bats are hot. Take advantage of it, even though each day is on its own. But I think the Cubs are always trying to steal bases when the opportunities present themselves, and they're always trying to take the extra base and be aggressive from an offensive standpoint. That's how they've tried to compensate for some of the inability to hit with runners in scoring position. But you know what helps in a big way? When you have your 7, 8, and 9 hitters producing, it just changes the whole dynamic of the lineup, and that's where PCA and Miguel Amaya have made a big difference lately.
Dustin thinks I'm making too big of a deal out of Paul Skeens. What say you?
I think Dustin's jealous of what Pittsburgh has in that right-hander. He's pretty darn good, isn't he? I mean, you don't have to be a Pirates fan, a Cubs fan. If you've been watching Major League Baseball for, I don't know, a month, you can tell this guy's a little different than everybody else.
Zach, just a point of rule, if I could. I'm just wondering, I was watching the Cubs game the other night, and, you know, it was sad to see him not get the victory. But at one point, the guy, Jesus Sanchez, is walked, but he doesn't go to first base, and he comes out for a pinch runner, and then it ends up being an unassisted out.
That was brilliant.
Out.
They appealed
to it. Let me tell you something. I had no idea what was going on. I did not know that rule. Are you a master of obscure rules like that, or is that just the Cubs?
I'm just very thankful Ron Coomer was in the booth. We kind of talked it out. And if Coom had not been in the booth while we were calling that play, I could still be talking to this very moment trying to figure out what transpired. It was a peculiar play. No one's ever seen it. But credit the Cubs coaching staff. And
yeah.
I heard J-Mo said this. Jameson Taillon said this with John Heyman on his podcast. He said, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but, you know, they asked him about Craig Counsell. And one of the things he said was, you just feel like you're walking into the ballpark every game with the smartest guy in the building. So, again, that's the kind of respect the clubhouse has for Craig Counsell. So even though he doesn't throw his hands up in the air, he doesn't rant and rave, he's doing a lot of stuff behind the scenes to try and make this team better. But this team has some limitations, and I think that's why you guys asked me about the business of baseball earlier. You can't ignore that. I mean, there are some changes that have to take place at the end of the season, but they still have a chance to make a little bit of a push here.
I'm glad we talked about it because it was a largely irrelevant moment and we didn't really go over it, but that is super cool.
It was
that
super
you
cool.
Even, that you know, and, hey, something's wrong over here.
And a good lesson for
the next
time your guy gets intentionally walked.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And also, how do you score that? I think that was the thing that was very difficult for me at the time because I was filling in for Pat. He was working the TV side. And usually you would go to Pat. He's like the Dalai Lama of this stuff, right?
That's a broadcaster's problem. Nobody at home's worried about scoring it,
Zach. It's an unassisted out from the catcher. That's what I read.
Is that what it was?
I swear to God.
I'm relieved.
Yes. And then Christian Pache, the pinch runner who came in, it does not come in as a pinch runner. He comes in as a defensive replacement. Ah,
see, that's exactly
you are
right.
A master of obscurity, Zach.
That's pretty cool.
Yes. So there's a lot of stuff that was taking place that day.
You are the ginger hair genius.
You are.
And you are the Craig Council of broadcasters.
Thanks for booking yourself today, Zach.
You're the best,
I miss
buddy.
You guys.
Thanks,
thank
Zach.
You.
You too.
We love
you
dearly. I'm here in Pittsburgh, and I'm just a stone's throw away from where the Steelers play at Acrisure Stadium, which is right down the street from PNC Park where the Pirates play. I'm still waiting. Have you guys gotten any calls since the preseason started about people wanting Justin Fields to replace Caleb Williams?
You just can't help yourself.
Not yet.
You can't help yourself. No. The answer is no, Zach. Have a great day.
No one from Pittsburgh.
All right.
All right, buddy.
See you guys.
That's our guy, Zach Zaman. That's awesome.
That is awesome. Caller 6 to the score contest line. We have a giveaway now. We're in such a good mood. 312-540-0670. You can win a pair of tickets to see the live show at Budweiser Brickhouse Tavern in Wrigleyville, 10 to 2 on Tuesday, September 17th. You can be joined by Cubs pitcher Justin Steele. That's where the Bernstein and Holmes show will be, 10 to 2 on Tuesday, September 17th. All brought to you by Bosch Power Tools and Phillips Chevrolet.
It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Score.
The Bears.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 the score. That is the voice of Caleb Williams. You can hear from him all day.
Oh, the harmonious, melodic voice of the Caleb Bears. Williams.
The Bears.
And everything's coming up, Caleb, this week. I think it's interesting because when you express concern about his dental health, I think that I have now have a heightened sensitivity for all things regarding his mouthpiece.
I don't want him losing a tooth.
I know.
We mentioned it. We talked about it.
I think that as somebody who has lost a tooth in the course of playing football, I have definitely a heightened awareness and sensitivity as well. So I appreciate where you were coming from, which is why I perked up my ears when I heard about Manti Te'o on the NFL Network bringing attention to, as you did, Caleb Williams' mouthpiece.
So we do a lot of comparisons here at Good Morning Football, and one of the biggest comparisons we've been making has been Caleb Williams looking a lot like Patrick Mahomes, and rightfully so. But I'm watching this young man do what he does. I'm watching him scramble around and make all of these incredible passes. And I start thinking, like, it kind of looks like somebody else that I'm familiar with, but I just can't put my finger on it. And then I click on Hard Knocks, and I'm watching him against the Cincinnati Bengals, and I see the mouthpiece. And when I see the mouthpiece at the corner of his mouth, I'm like, that's it. It's Mr. Night-Night himself. It's Steph Curry. He doesn't put his mouthpiece in his mouth. He's running around during the play. Like Caleb Williams, if you watch on Hard Knocks, he doesn't put the mouthpiece in his mouth. He actually plays the whole entire play with the mouthpiece at the corner of his mouth. He scores the touchdown, and he puts the mouthpiece in after that. And I'm like, that's Steph. And then I think about all the times where he's running around and he's scrambling, he's stepping up in the pocket, he's spinning out, he's extending plays, and I'm like, that's Steph trying to get open. One of Steph's greatest attributes is his ability to get open. He's running down the baseline, he's coming off his screens, he's popping out at the three-point line, he's shooting the three ball. But in all seriousness, the thing that I love the most about Steph is his quiet confidence. He's out there. He's having fun. He's doing his shimmy. He's shooting the three-point ball, and he's turning around towards the fans before the ball even goes in the net. It reminded me a lot about Caleb Williams and his ability to make very difficult things look easy. And that is why, as a Notre Dame guy, this is a lot coming from a Notre Dame guy to talk about a Trojan.
Yeah.
Caleb Williams.
Are you giving him his respect?
You have my respect, bro. And I wish you nothing but the best in this season and through your career. Continue to be you. Continue to be dominant and have fun. And, you know, once in a while, please put your mouthpiece in.
that I said the same thing, only my guy was Kaner. He reminded me of Kaner.
Yeesha Patrick Kane.
He used to
let it dangle.
Yes.
Yes. And I think that's
funny.
Fun, because both guys in those
they're
childlike in their approach.
Right.
They're relatable because of that. And they're both two of the greatest in the respective sport to ever play.
Curry, Kaner, Caleb.
You got to like it.
But,
it's a fun comp.
He's got an electric smile. Let's keep that thing together, Mr.
That's right. Let's keep those.
Let's not get some chewing gum on his mouthpiece.
Let's keep the pearly whites very nice and sound, intact. I think that's a good bit of advice. Mouthpiece in. And I thought it was funny. And a good sign of respect from a former domer, obviously. It might be reluctant and grudging respect, but he has earned it so far. Caleb Williams tonight will be back on Hard Knocks, episode 4. I don't know what your expectations are for episode 4. I know there's been a lot of disappointment expressed. People, I think, enjoy it, but like Richard Roper, our guy from the Sun-Times,
sure. He
think he reviewed it over the weekend, and it wasn't flattering necessarily. I think he called it very dull, kind of dullish.
Sure.
And that's probably right on brand for the Bears. They're probably glad that it's dull.
Bears seek dull.
They embrace dull. Yeah. Embrace the dull.
This is a weird one. I noticed, I read this somewhere. I think this is kind of funny. So we know that Will Levis started, he lost his starting job at Penn State to Sean Clifford, okay? Then Malik Willis loses his starting job at the Titans to Will Levis. Then the Packers trade for Malik Willis, and he's brought in to replace, wait for it, Sean Clifford as the backup quarterback to Jordan Love. How cool is that? That there is this weird, I beat him, beat me, you take my job, and I'm going to get his.
Go through that again. So
Willis was at Penn State and lost his starting job to Sean Clifford.
Okay.
Okay. I'm sorry, Levis.
Levis. Yeah. He transferred.
Then Willis is at the Titans, and he loses his job to Will Levis.
Mm-hmm.
So the Green Bay Packers trade for Willis, and now he beats out Sean Leonard.
Sean Clifford,
my God, what am I doing?
Okay,
Sean Clifford
started the whole process.
So Levis beats Clifford.
Yeah.
Then Willis loses to Levis, and then Willis is brought in to replace Clifford.
Essentially, Sean Clifford started the domino effect that resulted in him losing a job.
He won a job years ago that ended up making Will Levis depart and become a better player who then beat out Willis. And now Willis is good enough to replace Clifford. Why do I keep saying Clifford?
I'll say this. Sean Clifford.
That's right.
Probably wouldn't change anything. Your college football experience at that point in time, he benefited from that.
Sure.
And he had a good experience at Penn State.
Yes.
Now he loses his job as a result of not being a good enough backup quarterback that the Packers wanted to seek a replacement for him. They have a pretty good quarterback 1-2 right now, Jordan Love and Malik Willis. Malik Willis was a disappointment in Tennessee.
Hey, he's better, though, than Sean Clifford.
One would think.
The Packers' backup quarterback position was one we commented on after watching a couple of their preseason games. We talked about, if anything happens to Jordan Love, they don't have a backup.
They don't.
So guess what? They went out and got a backup quarterback because they probably figured that he would not last far enough to go to them, Malik Willis.
And you know who's charged or tasked with the job of making sure that Malik Willis learns the playbook, improves his skill set, hones his fundamentals before he's ready to go into a game in Green Bay?
Tom Clements.
Our guy is still there. I think he's still on that staff.
He's a good quarterback coach.
And I think he's a quarterback guru now, considered. He's been there forever. He interviewed for the Bears head coaching job, Bears offensive coordinator job over the years, and he has been at Green Bay since, I think, the Favre era. Maybe Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, I think Aaron Rodgers was his guy for a long time. So He's now going to inherit another project because Malik Willis will be one snap away from being the quarterback of a team that has, you know, ambition to get to the playoffs.
I'm curious, having been through what you've been through, losing teeth and having to go through the dental repair and everything else, would you ever dangle the mouthpiece again? If you had a mouthpiece in a sport, would you ever caner up or...
No, I would not dangle the mouthpiece. I would value the mouthpiece. I always, after that incident that happened my junior year in high school, I was somebody who always made sure that my mouthpiece was intact, in place, and I never took that for granted. Yeah. I always wanted to protect my teeth because of what happened when I had my helmet off and a helmet tossed at me and knocked my front teeth out in the midst of a game. So, yeah, I would never be compared to Kaner, it that way.
But would you ever take a moment, maybe contact the Tim Grover, get Caleb Williams' digits, and tell him to put that thing in?
I don't know that I would do that. Okay. I don't know. Right.
You're not worried about him.
Speaking of Will Levis, he's the most unusual quarterback in the National Football League. I think I'm going to deem him that today.
Okay, good.
Because did you see what he is marketing now? I did this story a couple weeks ago on Football Night in Chicago, which I'm going to be doing tonight, talking to David Braun from Northwestern, 6 o'clock on NBC.
They're opening at home.
Chicago. They're
opening
at home.
In the back, out by the...
Out in the back, the backyard.
Over by the tool shed. No, they're over
on the lake.
Yeah, they're right by the lake.
Let's get a bunch of guys together, play a little pickup football.
Hey, we're going to have a little game out here.
Will Levis has a cologne that I think is mayo cologne.
Ooh.
Smells like mayo.
Well, don't tell Dustin.
I got to see.
Pretty cool moment to share that yesterday. Had a lot of fun with it, and it was received pretty well. So
sold out in 1 minute. I had it in my cart. By the time I went to do the stuff, I couldn't get it. I mean,
it sold out in 1 minute. Yeah, I guess there was another drop this morning. I don't know if you were able to get in on that one, but we didn't expect how people were going to react to it, but I think it was like an hour or something, and it was gone. And $8 a bottle, it's going for a good cause. And it's just a really fun partnership that we continue to do fun things. So it's been amazing to kind of see how it's all unraveled.
That's Will Levis, and he's talking about the Mayo cologne.
What in the world are these people thinking? Whoever said I want to smell like mayonnaise?
I can't even begin to fathom that idea.
Why would you buy this?
Especially when mayo goes bad.
Yes.
I mean, see that. That was a Far Side cartoon where a guy opens a refrigerator and there is a bottle of mayo and it's holding up all the other condiments and it says when mayo goes bad.
I love that. I love the Far Side.
But isn't that like eggs? Rotten eggs?
It's awful. It's got to be awful. Then you meet your Uncle Sal, Salmonella. You don't want that. Why would you market a cologne like that? Why would you buy a cologne like that? It goes back to his idea. Didn't he eat mayonnaise or dip?
He must love a BLT.
Isn't he the guy who eats a banana with the peel on as well? This guy is very unusual.
And what does he eat? You know, in Canada, they have mayo on, or not potato chips, fries. Every time you get fries, they give you mayo.
Yeah, I'm not a big mayo with fries
guy. Well, Dustin won't eat mayo. He won't have a sandwich with mayo.
He sweats like mayo, though.
He will sweat like mayo.
He does sweat like mayo.
The last 2 days, maybe even today, might sweat like mayo.
Hey, it's great running weather. It's great running weather.
So rather than sweat like mayo, why don't you just buy some of the cologne?
no shot.
Well,
it grosses me out to even have to clean like the kitchen like after dinner. When my kid will do like a ketchup mayo like mixture, I want to not be well.
You're really that sensitive to mayo?
Mm-hmm, just.
How about Miracle Whip?
I mean, the same thing. I mean,
it's not
the stuff
really.
The stuff could sit on a shelf. It's like Twinkies, right? You could have that stuff since like World War II.
Peoria Matt checks in and says, "What the hell, man?"
I did my Zach cackle again. That was funny.
That was the helm of
vanity. That was very funny. I get it. I get it, Matt.
Come on.
I get it. Matt's always thinking. It's always a play on words.
All right.
I just don't understand why a kid who in college admitted that he likes to put mayonnaise in his coffee now has a fragrance deal for something that smells like the inside of a hockey bag.
How do you feel about coffee cologne?
Well, I would wear that more than I would wear a mayo cologne.
Yeah.
I would definitely smell like hazelnut all day rather than smell like mayonnaise.
How about pumpkin spice?
Pumpkin spice. By the way, pumpkin spice.
Season's here.
It's coming.
No, it's here.
No. It's been here. Yes,
it's been
here.
Released. It's like 150 degrees.
It's been
out.
Released. I was asked by my daughter the other day when I was at the Jewel that now has a Starbucks in the Jewel.
Yes.
Are you still there? All excited. Yes, I'm still
not
there.
Not just pumpkin spice coffee, pumpkin spice Cheerios.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Special edition
Never
box I saw at the Jewels
you.
As well.
Never Thank you, Dustin. And it's delicious.
I like to follow behind a man at the airport and try to get his coffee order.
I'm
just
proud
to determine.
I'm no longer ashamed of that. I've evolved.
I was in the Starbucks line behind Mr. David years ago, and he ordered a pumpkin spiced latte. And then I was looking at him like, whoa. I'm like, give me a cup of Joe.
I'll have a black coffee, please.
And you like were kind of slightly embarrassed.
I was a little embarrassed. Yeah, I was a little embarrassed. I'm just glad I didn't ask for extra whipped cream or something like that.
I remember Dan Pompey used to order like 45 degree. He would give a temperature. No, I mean, it
nobody
was like,
orders like Dan.
Oh my God.
Whether it's coffee or a drink.
It was
you
awesome.
Know,
oh,
shaved ice with
oh my God, hilarious.
Just a thump. Yeah, yeah. Dan is the ultimate guy you want to order with or not order with.
A hint of this. Yeah, it's so funny. All right, we got, I believe, our wonderful friends Dan and Lawrence next. We'll talk to them. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.